Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're in a message series called Stories. Stories are powerful. Stories are life-changing. And on the first Sunday of the month, we shared a story. Alexandria shared a story of how God helped her through a very tough divorce. And we've been declaring this life that there's life after divorce. Amen. Hallelujah. And then on second Sunday, we shared Femi and Shio's story. God gave them a breakthrough. They were believing God for a baby for 5 years, and God worked a miracle. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus is still in the miracle-working business. Amen. And last Sunday was powerful. Our Easter service, Donald and his wife Peggy shared a powerful story as well. But today, you're in for a treat. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're in for a treat. Awesome. Today, we're having Josiah's and Bruna Vargas. I think I did that well, pronouncing that name. Vargas. That sounds good. Sounds exotic. They're going to share their story today. Come on, let's put our hands together and welcome Josiah's and his wife, Bruna. Amen. Woohoo! Yeah. May be seated, guys. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to just dive into this.
Yes, sir.
Who is Josiah's and Bruna Vargas?
Well, first, thank you for the opportunity to share our history. We are from Brazil. Woo! I've been here for 10, 12, 11 years. She's been here for a while. Yeah. That's why my accent is really bad sometimes.
Well, it's exotic, brother. It's exotic. It's beautiful.
So I'm an average guy, you know, standard. I was looking for a beautiful wife, beautiful woman, and I found this beautiful lady.
Yes. Well, let's celebrate that.
And that was 7 years ago. 7 years ago. We dated and engaged for two, mm-hmm. and then we got married.
Awesome. Amen. Awesome.
So I am also Brazilian, and I came when I was 8 years old to the U.S. With my family, and I've been here for almost 20 years. I went to school here, I grew up, and I've always been a Christian, always grew up in church. And I met this lovely guy here at a youth conference. So guys, go to youth conferences. That's the place to meet your future. Pray. But we met at a conference, and we started talking after that, prayed and dated, and then got married after 2 years. We've been together for seven, and happily... We had some struggles, but happily married now for five.
Amen.
Traditional Assembly of God Church, and through all my family members, maybe I'm the craziest one.
Like I said, I was, grew up in a Christian family, Christian church, but I didn't have the ordinary family as Josiah's had. His parents were together for many, many years. My parents were not, so I grew up in a very violent family, and then they got divorced after a while, so I had to deal with that and raising my sisters. So I did not have the easy life as I thought he did.
Wow. So let's just jump into this next part of your life. Let's just jump into it. Okay. What did you guys go through? What happened just before you got married? You guys went through the last 5 years of your lives being married together. You guys have gone through some things, and God has given you victory, but you've had to fight some battles.
So, a couple, a month before our our marriage.
A month before your wedding.
Maybe less than that. Yeah. You know, every couple go, sometimes, not everybody, but a couple, once they go through the hospital to see, how do you call it?
Well, he's trying to say. So a month before our wedding, we were preparing for our bridal shower, getting ready for our wedding. And I told him that I wanted him to get checked up, and I wanted to make sure that I was healthy to get married. And I wanted him to also get checked up. And that fear that I had that I would get married to someone who was sick was actually true. So my little bit of a paranoia was what got me to have him go to the doctors, because many guys don't like to get checked up, you know. They are very stubborn. And so after I got to push him to do that, we discovered the month before our wedding that his dad was diagnosed with cancer. And obviously he was in Brazil and we couldn't go and visit. And a week before our wedding, we found out that my husband, at that time fiance, was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. So that was a week before our wedding.
Wow.
And so at the day of the wedding, not even a handful of people would know that we were going through that. Yeah. We did all the steps, you know, through the day of marriage. It was a beautiful day. They're gonna show the picture over there. Yeah. But then the doctors told you can't go to honeymoon.
Wow.
You have to start treatment right away.
So, a week before your wedding, you get this diagnosis, and of course you're planning the wedding and you don't even really get the chance to share with everybody what's going on. And here you are on your wedding day, music and dancing and all that's going on, but deep within you, you're fighting something big.
And my dad in Brazil also with the same.
And your father in Brazil is fighting as well.
Cancer too.
Wow. Wow. I want to start with you, Bruna. How did you feel? I mean, wedding day. I mean, girls dream about their wedding day, you know, and I'm sure this is not what you expected. And as a believer, as a girl who believed in God, met at youth group, you believe in God, you have all these dreams. What was that like?
To be honest, I was very numb when I got the news. I had no idea what cancer was. I praise God that I had my mom there with me, and she was the one who gave me a little bit of strength and courage to continue. She said, "You have no idea what you're about to go into, but I believe that God will help you guys and guide you guys." But I was very numb at the time. I didn't really realize how hard it was going to be. What was cancer like? I've heard of stories, but you don't know until you live it. So, you know, there in the midst of everything, those last few days, 7 days before deciding that this was going to be the end of my single life, I had lots of people telling me to give up. People who are close to me, people at work telling me, you know, don't get married to this guy. He's going to die. I mean, why should you waste your time? You're still young. You can still get married again. Why don't you postpone everything, put everything aside, and just see how it goes? And I had this really big gut feeling inside of me that I had to be with him, that I had to be there, that I couldn't, this was just not me to give up like that on someone who was just diagnosed with cancer. So I had to be strong, but I had no idea what I was going to go through.
So stage 3,
wow,
very, very advanced stage of cancer, goes from 0 to 4, 70% of chance of dying.
Wow.
And
we started
right away,
yeah.
Radiation for 7-8 sessions, and then chemotherapy, which is really if someone is going to chemo, is I understand, is really bad. Yeah. And surgeries.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Wow. Wow. Let's appreciate Bruna for staying and sticking to this man. Can we do that? That's a woman of God. Amen. Wow. 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 Wow.
And then 3 months later, my dad passed away. Wow.
Wow. And so that had to have shaken you.
Yes.
Going through that.
I've been always a very positive person. And through all, you know, since the beginning, I always told people around me and her that that would be only a temporary, and that would be only for strength of our relationship, and I never doubt that I would leave. So I've been always believing in God that we would go through this with no problem.
Wow.
And that because of God. Of
wow.
Course.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you guys heard that. He said he never doubted. Even after losing his father, he said he never doubted. He really believed that it was a temporary season and that God was doing something in his life. Amen. Let faith arise in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, know that it's temporary. Amen. God is on your side. Amen. Wow. So tell us the transition here. How did the whole thing turn around? And
yeah, the first year was very tough. We went through surgery. My mom after went to Brazil, so I didn't have any, you know, I didn't have her here. I had my sister here and my stepfather, but she was mainly my strength when I wanted to give up. And obviously God, but after she left, we had to be on our own. We finished all of the chemotherapy. He did 6 months of chemotherapy in his vein after his surgery. And after he was done, we started to actually live our wedding, live our newlywed time, because we had to go through sickness first and forget about being romanced and love and, you know, all of that stuff that we all think that's going to be, you know, beautiful in the first few months and years of marriage. So after that, we started looking into some help. We got some counselors to come in and help us. We had lots of struggles. We would fight a lot. He didn't understand me. I didn't understand him. And if it wasn't for these people to help us out and to counsel us and pray for us, and lots of friends, too, who I would be like, you know what, I want to give up on this guy. I'm done. Like, he's done with his cancer. He's fine now. I want to divorce him. I can't stand it anymore. And we had that group of people who would always say, don't give up. You went through so much. You know, cancer was so tough. And if you made it through that, any little fight that you guys go through will be nothing. So we had a strong anchor of people who would pray for us and wouldn't let us give up at all, because they wanted us to see what victory was like after, you know, aftermath. So I praise God for all these people. If it wasn't for them and if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here today. And so our number one is definitely God. You know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the strength. Two, you know, asking for help, going after people, being humble enough to say, we need help. It wasn't just the cancer. It was just now relationship problems that we were going through. So I was always the one who would go after and try to get someone to help us out, even though I wanted to be out because I wanted to be divorced every month. You know, I was like, you know what, I'm done with this. But I would always be the one to go back and be like, you know what, we need help. So I would go after someone to help us out. I would cry to pastors and ask someone to, hey, can you pray for us? We are thinking of doing this. So even though I wanted to give up, I always had that strength to go back and
Wow. Amen. Married couples, let's encourage you. It's okay to get help. Amen. Yes. It's okay to go for counseling. By the way, your pastor's right here. We go for counseling every month. Amen. Not ashamed of it. Proud of it. Amen. We were never designed to do it by ourselves. And if you can't afford counseling, go to another couple in this house. Go to another couple somewhere else and get some help. Amen. So Josias, give us the big reveal here. How was the victory and how did things turn around and all that good stuff?
Well, we 5 years after treatment is completed, you know, always we never told anybody like publicly that because we want to wait, you know, as medicine they say that you are clear after 5 years. So a couple months ago we just turned 5 years, so
yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And aren't you glad you didn't give up on this brother? Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Wow.
And how beautiful she is, huh?
Wow.
Average guys, don't give up.
Average guys.
Now, amen to all the average brothers out there. Hallelujah. Well,
yeah, but we went through a lot. Yeah. We went through a lot. Yeah, it was not easy. Definitely losing my dad, it was, for me, it was
the worst.
Hmm. So, as we spoke, we've been in both sides. So we have the winning of me having, of course, with the grace of God, battling the cancer and winning it. But then I have the other part that a lot of people have. Mm. And we, of course, we have struggles and victories and battles. But in the other side, I have my dad that passed away for the same disease. So,
and what would you guys advise people, you know, as Christians? We go through seasons, you know, and if there's someone who's going through this season or has a family member that's going through a season like this, how would you advise them? Of course, we're going to pray and believe God. We believe God all the way. Amen.
Amen.
Believe God all the way. But how does someone cope with a season like this?
Well, as a, let's say, an outsider, because I didn't go through it, but I was next to someone who is going through. I had a moment of my life that I was going through hatred against God. Like, why did you choose us? And why is it now? Why wasn't it somebody else? But even though I had that battle between me and God, at the end of the day, when I wanted to give up, he was the only one who I could speak to. There was no statue. There was no anybody else that I believed that would help me. So even though I wanted to hate him as much as I was going through that hurt, I still turned out to him and asked him for help. So number one is never giving up on what God has in store for you.
Amen.
He has a plan for everything. There's always a purpose, even though it hurts. So number one is God, and you know, never giving up on praying or asking for someone to pray for you, because there are those moments that you have no words, that there are no more tears either, because you're already dried up of crying so much because of all the hurt. So asking for someone to pray for you. And another thing that gave me strength was listening to hymns. You know, there's some deep hymns that people are used by God to touch your lives. So there are those moments that no prayer, no asking for help, no crying, you know, will, that is all going to be dried up. You have no more strength for that. But if you turn on to a song, you know, God may use that song again to heal you and give you strength to continue. There are some powerful words that God have been using songwriters to heal us. And we had some songs that carried us through it. They were not English. There's lots of English songs that helped us, but there was a few of them that were Portuguese and that used to, you know, carry us through it. And there's a specific one that helped me. The song used to tell me that no matter what you're going through, even though you don't have any strength to continue, I will carry you in my arms. And that was a song that I would cry and pray to God to just carry me through it then, because I don't have any strength to go for.
Wow. Amen. Come on, let's appreciate this couple. Amen. Wow, what a story. Come on, let's appreciate them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments here, 10 minutes or so, and talk about understanding times and seasons. Please say that with me, understanding times and seasons. Let's turn the Bibles, our Bibles, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And the words will be on the screen as well. I'm going to read. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. I came to America back in 1998 in the month of December. And so even though December is winter time in America, it is actually summertime in Africa. And so my parents, who had been in this nation several times, when they knew that I was coming to America, they told me, you better get yourself a real warm jacket, because even though it's so hot here, where you're going, it's very, very cold. I mean, I was in the middle of the summer. I was wearing shorts, no shirt. I mean, I had a tan. I was dark. I know I have a tan already, but I had even a greater tan. I had a tan. Black people call me black. Like, this guy is black. I mean, it was warm. It was hot. But within 24 hours, I traveled from a very hot place. And within 24 hours, I landed in Boston in a very cold place. Now, I should have listened to my mother a little more. Instead of getting a really warm jacket, I got myself a little sweater. And instead of getting jeans were not in fashion back then, I got myself some silk pants. Anybody remember Boys to Men? Casey and JoJo? Vanilla Ice, baggy silk pants? So brother showed up to America wearing silk pants and a little sweater. I got sick. I remember getting out of that airplane and feeling that whoosh of coldness. And I spent my first Christmas in this nation in bed, sick, because I didn't listen to my parents. But I tell you this, I got sick because I didn't understand the times and the seasons of the nation that I was getting into. See, I understood Africa. I was in a pair of shorts and I was having fun. But even though my parents advised me about the place I was going to, I had never been to the Northern Hemisphere before. You've got to remember this. I had never been to a place that snowed ever before. So I had no reference point. I couldn't really relate to what they were talking about. So within 24 hours, I come out of this place that's hot, and I find myself in this place, and I got sick because I didn't understand the times and seasons. Impact, I want to give you a tweet. Your success in life will largely depend on your ability to understand times and seasons. One of the greatest prayers you can pray is, God, help me to understand the times and the seasons that I'm in. Help me to understand. You're in a church like this. You want to understand the culture of a church like this, but at the same time, you want to understand the times and seasons that God brings this church into. It's possible for you to understand the culture of this church and not understand the seasons that this church is in. And if you're going to be successful in a church like this, not only should you understand the vision and the culture, But you should also understand the seasons that this church is in, the seasons that your family is in, the seasons that you're in with your career and everything that you do. That's what happened in the scripture that I just read. It says, from the tribe of Issachar, Israel has 12 tribes. And these tribes come out of the 12 sons of Jacob. The tribe of Issachar, the Bible says there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, and all these men understood. Somebody shout understand. They understood the signs of the times. And because they understood the signs of the times, the Bible says they knew the best course for this nation. You see, Israel was in a time of war, and every tribe was sending soldiers. And the tribe of Issachar had just a few men that they could send. But the Bible says the sons of Issachar understood the times. I like to read from New King James Version here for you to understand something else. Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. They became the leaders of the time because they understood the times and the seasons. Somebody pray this prayer. Say, Lord, help me to understand times and seasons. I want to quickly give you three things that happen when you understand times and seasons. Number one, understanding times and seasons puts you in a right frame of mind. Understanding times and seasons puts you in the right frame of mind. It gives you peace of mind. When my wife and I got married 11 years ago, 11, wow, it's been a long time. 11 years ago, here's what happened. My wife came into our marriage with debt. She used to love the credit card, and she had student loans. Our life is an open book. She knows I'm talking about this. I have permission to talk about this. And so she was very miserable because, honestly, she felt very guilty that she came into the marriage with so much debt. She was miserable. She was depressed. She would sleep at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She was just sad. Me, on the other hand, I was just having fun, man. I wasn't complaining. I had the woman of my dreams. I was excited. But I'll tell you what. The reason I wasn't depressed was because I understood that this was just a season. This was just a season. It was temporary. It wasn't permanent. I want to speak to somebody in this place. Please don't commit suicide. Your problem is temporary. Oh, your problem has an expiration date. Please don't commit suicide. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary condition. Your problem will change. It will change. Whatever problem you're going through right now, it will change. How do I know that? Because you've had other problems in the past and God's helped you through them. The reason you're in this place, sitting in this place right now, is because of the miraculous hand of God, and He will do it again. I was at peace. We went through days with no food, and I was at peace. Because I knew it was just a season. I knew God would bring us to days like this where we would do great ministries. I knew God would bring us to days where He would give us millions of dollars, where we would build hospitals around the world. I know those days are coming. Somebody shout hallelujah. I knew it was just a season. I knew God was raising us to build hospitals and build churches and raise and take care of orphans. And I knew this was just the beginning season. My wife thought this was permanent. And because she didn't understand the times and seasons, she was not in the right frame of mind. And when you're not in the right frame of mind, you can't make wise decisions. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 2, Jesus and His mother went to a wedding, and they ran out of wine at the wedding. And His mother was frantic. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Jesus, you're a miracle worker. You need to multiply. You need to do something. You need to give them some wine. Do something. She was frantic. And if you read John chapter 2, verse 4, this is what Jesus says. Dear woman, that's not our problem. Isn't that crazy? Mom is going crazy. Oh my God. Oh my God. We got. And He says, dear woman, that's not our problem. This is not our problem. Jesus replied, my time. Somebody shout time. My time has not yet come. Jesus was at peace. He was chilling because He understood the times and seasons. This word time comes out of a Greek word called kairos. Somebody say kairos. which means an appointed time. There's an appointed time for everything. Jesus knew his time had not come yet. I want to encourage somebody in this place who's frustrated in their dreams. I want you to know that you're just in a season of preparation. Don't be frustrated. Your appointed time has not come yet. Because if you step into the spotlight before your appointed time, you're going to crush your dreams and destroy yourself. So don't be frustrated. I know people who are just frustrated, restless. When is it going to happen? When am I going to do this? When am I going to start this business? If you walk into the spotlight before it's your time, you're going to destroy yourself. Pastor, so what should I be doing right now? Be faithful where God has planted you right now. Be the best employee that you can be. Be the best usher that you can be. Be the best person you can be in the position that God has placed you. Because if you can't be trusted with small things, you will never be trusted with big things. Hallelujah. Come on, if we're going to clap, let's do it well. Let's do it for Jesus. I pray right now and I declare over you that God will help you to understand the times and seasons that you're in. The second thing, understanding times and seasons causes you to prepare well and maximize the moment. Understanding times and seasons causes you to prepare well and maximize the season. Yet again, when my wife and I got married 11 years ago, we didn't have a lot of money. So date night for us, we used to go to Blockbuster. Anybody remembers Blockbuster? We used to go to Blockbuster. We could only afford a DVD. We were crazy. We would be at Blockbuster in our PJs. I had this Scooby-Dooby-Doo bed slippers, yellow, big. I used to walk in there. They used to squeak, quick-cheek, quick-cheek. Africans are crazy, right? I'm in America. I can buy Scooby-Dooby-Doo bed slippers. So I'm going to do it. But we would be in there. Friends would know I was in there because they would hear this thing squeaking. And then we'd go home and get some hot cocoa, get some popcorn, get some Chinese food. Amen, somebody. But you know, there was an executive at Blockbuster who told the other executives that they needed to change their business model because the times and the seasons were changing. And somebody told them that a time is coming now where people will not want to come into your stores anymore. You need to develop a new business system where people can access your movies and your product in the comfort of their homes. And they fought this guy. They said, no, people like to come to our stores. And this guy said, no, I sense that the times are shifting. There's a shifting. The seasons are changing. And these guys were stubborn. They said, no, we're experienced. We know our business, we're experienced. And let me tell you this, sometimes experience can become the enemy of the new things that God wants to do in your life. Doctors who are experienced, thank you very much, doctor, for what you say. Thank you for your experience. You can do what you're supposed to do, but I know another doctor who's better, and his name is Dr. Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen to them, respect them, but remember, don't listen to everything they say, because sometimes experience is limited. It's limited. So this guy said, no, we're experienced. We know our business. We know our business. We can't do this. And then there was a small little organization called Netflix that came up. They understood the times and the seasons and the shiftings of time. And years prior to this shift, they had been preparing. And Steve Jobs had started something called iTunes. And so they knew that the market was going to shift. And Netflix was in position and they took the opportunity. And Blockbuster went bankrupt. Blockbuster used to have 9,000 stores in this nation, 60,000 employees who lost their jobs because this executive missed the moment, did not understand the shiftings of the times and seasons. Netflix shot up. Now they have 40 million subscribers worth billions of dollars. There's a guy in the Bible called Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus' father, who was Timaeus, was also blind. So this guy was dealing with something that we call generational blindness. There was a curse in the family. But Blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming through, and he knew in his heart that this was his kairos season. This was his time for a miracle. This was his time to break the generational curse once and for all. And even though people shut him out, he cried out the more and began to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus gave him a miracle. You've got to know this. This was the last time that Jesus was coming through this city because Jesus was going to get killed. and blind Bartimaeus knew this was the Kairos time. This was the appointed time for his miracle, because Jesus would never go through this place ever again. He understood the times and the seasons. I pray over you now in the name of Jesus that God would help you to understand the times and seasons. And the last thing I'll say today is this: a season of crisis precedes a season of greatness. A season of crisis precedes a season of greatness. Look at Noah. He had a crisis. The flood came, but God gave him victory and a new beginning. Look at Abraham. He had a crisis. He was barren. His wife was barren, but God gave him Isaac and he became a father of many nations. Look at Joseph. He went through a crisis, the pit and the prison, but God raised him up and he became the prime minister of that nation. Look at Moses. He had a crisis. Pharaoh was pursuing him, the Red Sea in front of him, but God gave him victory. He became a deliverer of the nation. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Look at Joshua. Ah, the walls of Jericho were in front of him. They came tumbling down, and he brought his nation into the promised land. Look at David. He had a crisis called Goliath, and because of Goliath, he became a king. You cannot become a king without a crisis. Your crisis is here to help you to get to the next level. There's a girl called Ruth. She got widowed, but God gave her Boaz, a man of influence and affluence. There's a little girl called Esther. Yeah, she was a widow. She was a slave, but God made her a queen. Look at Jesus. He went through a crisis called the cross, died, but 3 days later he rose again. And because of that, you and I are saved today because of a crisis called the cross. I'm here to tell you that your season of crisis is temporary. And God is bringing a change in your life, and God's going to heal you. God's going to touch you. That's what Bruna and Josias went through. They went through a season. Christians, I want you to know, you will go through seasons of hardship. But as long as you understand that it's just a temporary season, you will not be frantic. In the midst of hell, you will have a peace that passes all understanding, because your understanding of the times and seasons. Please stand if you can. Please stand if you can. God, help us understand times and seasons. Father, help us understand times and seasons. Thank you, Jesus. In this atmosphere, if you're going through cancer, or if you know somebody.